Thanks for joining me on another episode of the Grief Observed podcast. I'm your host, Brad Morrell. This is one of those special milestone episodes, number 50, believe it or not. I've been doing this for 164 days, and we are already here at episode 50. For you mathematicians out there, that's an episode about every 3.25 days. So very, very busy. Lots of people wanting to tell their story. It's amazing. I appreciate everybody willing to come on the show and just talk about grief. It's been a pleasure meeting and talking with people who share this one difficult thing that we have in common, and that is the loss of an individual that was special to us. If you would like to join me, like so many others have before, please send me an email at griefobservedpodcast@gmail.com or find me on Facebook, facebook.com/griefobservedpodcast. My next guest is somewhat of a time traveler. She is already ahead into tomorrow. I'm stuck here in today. She is from way across the big pond in Australia. My guest is Amy. Amy is here to speak about the death of her father. Amy, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat a little bit about what I've been through, and I'm very grateful to be here and to share my story. So I appreciate you having me on, Brad. Thank you.
Yeah. It's always neat how I meet so many people. And like I stated, you're several hours ahead of me. There was a little bit of confusion on, I think, my part of what day we were supposed to meet. So anyway, we made it. Here we are.
We made it.
Yeah.
I'm Wednesday, 10 o'clock. So you're still the night before, but
yeah. Yeah. It's Tuesday, 8:17 here in Tennessee. So anyway, I love technology and that we can just bridge the gap here. So
amazing.
Amy, why don't you start out by telling me just a little bit about who you are, and we'll kind of get into your father here in just a few minutes, but why don't you tell the listeners who you are?
So I'm Amy. I'm from Sydney in Australia. I'm just turned 31, not long after my dad passed away. I have two young boys. They're 5 and 3. I'm a single mum in regards to their dad, but I do have a new partner. And I used to work in corporate for a big bank over here in Australia, Commonwealth Bank, for just over 10 years, but I now run my own business, two businesses, which I'm very thankful for at a time like this when grief bombs are just around the corner and heavy grief is very, very much there. I'm glad that I've decided to start the business when I did. And yeah, I've got three beautiful sisters. So there's mum and dad had four of us girls. And unfortunately, yeah, we've just lost our dad. But I'm still, you know, very grateful to have my mom and my sisters and other family members.
Yeah. I've already got a million questions just from some of the things that you've spoken of already, but, why don't we take a few moments just to honor who your father was? And, why don't you just take a few moments to talk about the man, your father?
So depending on who's listening to this, you probably know what I mean when I say, depending on where you are in the world, that he was just your typical Aussie bloke, which is very easygoing, laid back, loved a beer or 20, loved a cigarette or 20, just loved his family, wanted to work, do the basic things in life, come home, spend time with his girls. And my mum, they did unfortunately split up later on in my life. But yeah, he's a family man and just really simple. He was one of those guys that just easy to talk about anything with. He wasn't judgmental, very loving and kind. And he was a massive St. George Dragons supporter. So that's NRL football for us over here in Australia. So he loved his footy games, and we're all followed in his and mum's footsteps, and we're obsessed with the Dragons NRL team as well. So yeah, he was not just quiet kind of guy. Only really spoke up when he needed to, otherwise he kept to himself. And yeah, had a heart of gold, and I do truly, truly miss him.
So, how old was your father when he passed?
52.
52.
52. So just before his 53rd birthday, he passed away. I always knew he wasn't living the most healthy lifestyle, which was part of the reason why him and mum split up when I was 18 years old. Nothing, heavy, no judgment anywhere, but we've all had our times and experiences, but he wasn't using drugs or anything like that, but just the amount of alcohol consumed and cigarettes, plus other things that go on in relationships that then fall on from that money, stuff like that. They split up when I was 18, but we've been speaking about this with, because I still have all four of my grandparents alive. Two of them are in my both my grandfathers are in their mid to late 80s, and both my grandmothers are in their mid 70s. And I talked to his mum, my dad's mum, my grandma about him passing, and it's like we always kind of knew he probably wasn't going to live this miraculous, age to this miraculous age of 90 or 100. But yeah, 52, and the shock of how quickly it happened, was not something that we saw coming at all, really. With I actually asked my grandma openly the other day on the phone. We had about a 3.5 hour chat, and I said to her, "Did you ever think you would lose your and it's her only son, and they were inseparable, before yourself?" And she's like, "I did have a feeling that maybe in his, late 60s, he might start to have heart problems or something like that, but I never thought it would be, early 50s. Like, he doesn't really drink or smoke any more than 50% of other Australians anyway. It's a very common thing over here, but he was just unlucky, the type of cancer that he got, that got to him so quickly.
What kind of cancer did he have?
So he had small cell lung cancer. So there's non-small cell, which is not as aggressive, and neither of them are curable, but with non-small cell, you could still have years ahead of you. Through research and talking to people, I know people that have lived with the non-small cell for up to 10 years still. But unfortunately, we did get the news that he was in that 8% of people that get small cell lung cancer, and that it can be quite aggressive.
What is healthcare like over there in Australia?
I always thought we were pretty lucky through, watching movies and reality TV and stuff like that. From the, over in the United States and over in the UK, it was like my impression was a lot of what we get here in Australia is free. And you guys have to pay for a lot more over there. But after going through something serious with someone close to me, like we've never really had to use any major healthcare systems, maybe a broken arm here or there from one of my sisters growing up, but nothing major's ever happened to anyone else in our family. And now after going through that closely with him, I don't think the healthcare systems are where they need to be. I think he was brushed to the side, and it was actually, as I said before, he's a man of few words, and through picking him up and dropping him off at appointments, it was actually him himself in, must have been probably about 4 weeks before he passed. I took him to an appointment and then was driving him home, and he, one of the only things he said in the car to me was, "They don't give a fuck about me. I'm just a number. They really don't give a shit." Because we pretty much went there saying, in one of his last appointments, saying like, this is bad. Like, he hasn't eaten in 6 weeks. He hasn't drank a sip of anything in 6 weeks. He is extremely unwell. He's lost 15 kilos in the last 2 weeks. And it was just like, oh, just wait for your next appointment. We'll see you then. So, of course, there's all these questions like, could they have done more? My dad was in like the lower to middle class, I guess you would say. So he, could always afford to live week to week, because he always had a, I wouldn't say decent income, but a middle income coming in. But he didn't have any private health care or anything like that. But they also kind of made out to us because we said to them, if we've got money, if someone's got money in the family, is there, can we send him overseas for further treatment? Can we? And it was pretty much like with that type of cancer that he had, all they could offer was chemotherapy and radiation, and there was nothing else they could do for him. It was just too extreme. And then you meet amazing nurses and doctors throughout the time too. Like, there's two in particular that, I would hug every time I saw them or cry in their arms, and I was on the phone to them constantly. I think it's just more so they are so short-staffed. That's one of the big things. And then another thing as well is probably maybe some of the doctors in there aren't very people-like. They're just there to tick and flick and get you out. So yeah, my opinion of the healthcare system in Australia has changed. And watching him die in those final days and the little amount that they would come in and check what was happening and stuff like that, and the fact that they couldn't let him die where he wanted to was really disappointing. I had quite a number of arguments with the nurses and doctors in the final week. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say whether that was just my experience or was the cancer just so extreme and so aggressive as we knew it was, that there was nothing else they could do. Yeah, so I'd say it's probably about mediocre. There's countries that would have it much worse. But there's definitely some work that could be done as well.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of commonalities. We are severely understaffed in the hospitals in my area, and it's hard for them to bring anyone in. And so there's a lot of travel
Oh,
nurses
really?
that come through. It's just, and I think a lot of it has gone down definitely in the last 10 years for sure, but a lot of changes, during COVID, post-COVID, healthcare is just not what it used to be. And I think
No.
also in our area, it's like the work ethic of people has it's
That's right.
drastically decreased. Like you were stating, the nurses and doctors maybe don't care like they should. They don't check in enough, and
Definitely not.
I just sit there and think, I'm close to your father's age. I'll be 49 in October. But I think about people your age, people my daughter's age, what is healthcare going to be like when you need it? When your dying days are upon you, whether you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever, like what will healthcare be like at that point? It's scary, very scary.
This was actually a big topic of conversation when my dad first got sick, because I'm in the middle of natural alternatives and medical alternatives. In regards to so many aspects, my mental health, I've needed a bit from both. My two sisters underneath, oh, my three sisters underneath me are very much natural alternatives as much as they can, with everything, with how they raise their children, without going into too much detail. So that all kind of came about since COVID. They were doing a lot of research. And so when we first got the diagnosis, we were really trying to talk to Dad about trying different methods. But I can say it, I feel bad saying it because he's not here now, but he was very closed-minded. And he was very closed-minded to a lot of things in life, really. It was just kind of like, this is how we saw things, and that was kind of it. Not that he had too much of an opinion on how anyone else lived their life, but we tried to talk to him about things like, CBD oil, and we did find people online that had flown. I can't remember which country it was, but there was a woman with small cell lung cancer who had never smoked and who had flown over and paid, I think, $30,000. And we were like, Dad, we can come up with that money. Like, between all the grandparents that are alive and, us working and our partners working, and he just didn't really want to. So I don't know a lot about the treatment the lady did. It was more my mum's a bit like me too. She's in the middle, but she's coming more into the natural side of things. And yeah, we mentioned a lot of little things to my dad, and then he just kind of shut it down straight away. So, and just wanted to try the chemo first and see what happened. So that was a really tough thing in the beginning. But we did just kind of accept it for what it was and let it go. We were very hesitant for him to even get chemotherapy, because we'd heard such horrible things about it from people we knew personally with their own fathers or mothers going through it. My partner's actually lost both his parents to the same type of cancer. It ended in a different way, but yeah, so that it was hard because there were a lot of other things maybe we could have tried, but it all just happened so quickly, and Dad wasn't very open to hearing about those things. So luckily we didn't drag it on too long, and we just kind of left it. We respected him as our father, a 52-year-old man, to decide what he wanted to do. And the chemo actually did have a good effect to start with. So yeah, there's all these things that come with grief. It's like, it's not just the grieving of missing that person so terribly much that you feel like your heart's being ripped apart, but there's all this other stuff, like what the little questions you're asking me are all the things that are dug deep inside my mind that I lie awake at night thinking about, that people, don't really talk about, is like, could we have done more? Is it the chemo that did, like, I don't, the chemo maybe did give him extra parts of his life, but we were so kept out of the loop with the nurses and the doctors and the hospitals that there's all these little things in there. Like, should we have pushed this upon him more? Should we have, not done the chemo? Should we have taken him back to the hospital? There's all these other things that come with grief, depending on how you lost the person, and depending on, I guess, if you're someone that likes to overthink things a little bit, or is just happy to let things go. But yeah, there was a lot more to it.
Yeah, I speak often on here about changing the what if thinking into even if thinking, because the what if thinking really leaves us in a place of guilt. Like, what if we would have done something different? Would he still be here now? When you change that into even if, like, even if we had not went the chemo route, if we would have went more natural route, he may not still be here, right? There's so it kind of removes the guilt piece out of our hearts, and it's hard, and we could sit here and come up with a thousand different scenarios, but it would it change the outcome? Could it have given him an extra day, an extra hour? I don't know, but the reality is your dad's not with you, and that's a hard part, right? But I do
I like
tell
that though.
people, don't think about the what ifs. The what ifs will, it'll suck the life out of you, right? It's, it drains you just thinking that what more could I have done? Sounds like you're a great daughter. Sounds like you've got some awesome siblings and people that really cared for your father and wanted the best for him, wanted the best outcome. But ultimately,
I think
like you
I love.
stated, I think it was good that you gave him the choice, you know?
We did, yeah. I love that, even if, and it applies to everyday life. Even when my boys are at childcare, it's like when they first went, I think, what if someone's left the gate open and, they've got out? And then as time goes on, you do change that. I think even subconsciously, I have is even if someone's left the gate open, I have to trust that where my kids are is where they're meant to be right now. And the same thing goes for what's happened with Dad.
Yeah.
Something that you just said made me feel teary when you said, you sound like a good daughter, because something I've been struggling with this last couple of weeks is like, am I still a daughter to my dad? Like, yes, I'm a daughter to my mum, but I feel like, in a spiritual sense, of course I am, but in a practical sense, I feel like I'm only a daughter to one person now. And maybe that's not the right way to look at it, but that's just a new feeling that has come up for me in the recent week or two. And yeah, it's like a bit of a loss of identity. Sometimes you lose yourself through loss, relationship breakups, or becoming a mum, or horrible things happen. And this is what I think is happening to me a little bit. I feel like I'm losing a part of, I'm questioning who I am now that he's not here. And some days I think, like, am I still a daughter to my dad? Which sounds so silly because we're connected, at the soul, but it is something that has been crossing my mind. And the day, my down days, I do, when I do cry, I think, like, I'm not his daughter anymore because he's not here. I can't do the things with him or for him that I used to do. So yeah, I'm thankful that I've got my mom, and I don't know how people do it when they've lost both parents, really.
You know, Amy, I'm gonna bring something up here, and I always leave it up to the individual when they come into my office. Like I try to talk in present tense, like you are still his daughter, right? You are a good daughter, not you were a good daughter. But I want you to think about something. It takes two people to create another human. You know this well because you're also a doula, right? Okay. So it takes two people to create a human. Your father's DNA is still in you, right? Your father's blood really flows through your veins in a lot of ways. So I feel like, there are parts of your father that still are alive, and therefore you are still a daughter. I don't know if that makes sense, and
No,
not everybody would understand that or buy into it, but
it makes perfect sense. Something strange that kept happening to me the days after he passed was, it's maybe going to sound a little psychotic, I don't know, but I'll tell you anyway. Whenever I would look in the mirror, when just after he passed, all I could see was him, like still my face, but my features and the curves, and the way your mouth moves when you talk, and things like that. I could just see him, like it just was so adamant and so clear to me. I couldn't walk past a mirror without being like, oh my gosh, I look like Dad. Yeah. And going even beyond the DNA factor, and then that's so cool, that also carries on to my kids. They're also a part of him.
That's right.
And that's something my mum keeps saying, like, he got to meet, and there's six grandkids that are, or not just you four girls, but then there's six grandkids that all have a part of him, and you'll see parts of him as they grow up. But then I also believe that, besides the blood and the DNA, that we choose our parents, on a soul-based level as well. So there's that too. Where I believe he's always with me and he's always a part of me. There's just those moments of doubt, when you're overtired, or you've been sick, as I was telling you, I was unwell, or you're having a bad day, where some thoughts do come into your head, where you do have moments of thinking things like, am I still a daughter? But what you said about his DNA physically being, in my body and a part of me, I do resonate with that, and that does make sense. I'm just going to quickly grab myself a tissue. I'm so sorry. I should have been prepared for this.
No, you're good.
Sorry.
You're good. And I do feel like relationship does not end. It's yes, there is a person who is no longer with us, but at the same time, the relationship I don't think ends. It is interesting too that you spoke about the mirror thing and seeing your father's face. It
It was like
reminds me of something that I've told on this podcast before, but I was looking for, a confirmation dream, I guess, that one of my best friends passed away 13 years ago, almost 12 and a half years ago, I believe. And I was just like, is he okay in the afterlife? Is he good? And I had this dream that I'm looking in the mirror in my bathroom. And my face started turning into Chad's face. And it was
Yes.
just, he started
I'm not crazy.
smiling back to me. And
I'm
no,
not crazy. We're both crazy.
you're not crazy. You're not crazy. But it was just, it was like a confirmation. And I felt so at peace at that point that he is okay, you know?
Yeah. You asked for signs. It was at the first 4 weeks when he par after he passed, him and I were having convers. I don't know if I'm psychic, but I've just never wanted to go down that path. I've lived a pretty spiritual life, and I've had my great grandma who he is with now. He was having dreams of her the last couple of months leading up. He was her favorite. And she's come to me as a spirit before, like I've physically seen her. This was about 10 years ago now. Then straight after he passed at 2:10 a.m. on Sunday, the 11th of February. And the next day, well, the same day, sorry, the 11th of February, I had a nap. I was so exhausted from being at the hospital, all that week, all hours, the day and night. And I had a nap at about 2 o'clock and I woke up. And as I woke up, he was speaking to me. It was like he was right next to me. He's like, "Hey, Ames, where'd you go last night?" And for about 4 weeks, that went on. Like twice a day, I would say we would have constant conversations. He'd tell me where he was. He talk would tell me things about him being at the funeral. It was in like it wasn't out loud. Like it was all in my head. But he told me who he was with now in heaven, what it was like. There was even parts where he was a bit confused because he caught up with old friends, and some of them had stayed the same age. And obviously, my dad had aged since he lost one of his best mates, so he was finding it a bit harder to connect with those people, and he was wanting to be more around family. And I had messages for my sisters and stuff, but after about 4 weeks, that just ended. And I don't have anywhere near as much contact with him now at the moment. If I really am struggling, I'll say to him, like on Friday morning, I went to an appointment and I had to pull my car over on the way back because I was just bawling my eyes out. It was near where he used to live and just all the nature and countryside I was looking at, just I really felt him with me, but I didn't feel like he was close enough. And it was the first time I spoke out loud and I said, "Dad, I love you so much." I'm like, because he would be the type that would be like, "Come on, Ames, like it's all right, like get on with it. You're gonna be fine. Like, it's all good. I'll see you again." And I'm like, so I'm kind of apologizing for being this mess all the time and not handling it the way I think I should. And I just said to him, "I just miss you so much. Like, that's the main cause of the pain. Like, yeah, there's the background stuff of how you died and all that, but I just miss you." And I said to him out loud in the car when I'd pulled over, like, "Can you please just give me a sign that you're okay?" And I hadn't had any dreams. My sisters had had dreams about him. And then, no word of a lie, that night, our favorite team, who is not very likely to win games normally, like had an amazing blitz of a game. Didn't just fluke it, but absolutely like blitz this other team that are coming way higher up in the competition. And they did a field goal, which they hardly ever do in footy games anymore. My dad was always the one that yelled out, "Do the field goal, do the." I'm like, he must have been on that field with them telling them to do it. And then when I went to sleep, I had a dream and he was sitting in a food court and I was with my mum and my partner and he was sitting with my nephew playing with trucks and he was there as a spirit and I dropped all my like shopping bags and ran up to him and hugged him and was like, "Dad, Dad, you're okay." And he wouldn't talk, but he was like nodding and hugging me and kissing me. And then my grandma and my sister and her partner were sitting like just over from where my dad was with my nephew. And they were like, "Amy, was that Dad? Did you just see him?" And I'm like, "Yeah, he's okay, he's okay." Then we all started having lunch together and he came and sat between my grandma and I in the dream. And I looked at him and he smiled at me and touched my face. And I said, "Are you okay, Dad?" And he's like, "Yeah," like he was smiling and nodding his head. And then I said, "Are you okay, Dad? Are you happy, Dad? Is it like, are you happy, Dad? Are you sure you're okay? Is this you telling me you're okay?" And he's like, just kept nodding, like he wouldn't. And then I said to him, "Can you not talk out loud?" And he shook his head. And then he kissed me on the forehead and he left. And that was the same day I had said, "Dad, please give me a sign." And, you know, I'd had dreams of like the hospital wall, like the hospital corridors and stuff since he'd passed. And like dreams that he was still alive and sick, or dreams that like I had a dream that he was alive and he was like vomiting and stuff like that. But I hadn't actually had a dream where he'd come to me as a spirit to let me know that he was okay. And that's what I asked for that Friday morning. And that's what happened on Friday night. So
Wow.
I woke up, yeah. I woke up feeling amazing. I wish that kind of stuff happened all the time, but I guess when it does happen, you need to just try and hold on to it.
Yeah, I saw something on your website about a journal. Do you journal a lot or no?
I do. I obviously go through stages where I could put a lot more effort and attention into it, but I've journaled since I was a little girl, always have my diaries with me, writing about my feelings. And I try and journal daily, which isn't always something that happens, you know, being a mum. And, you know, sometimes if I have some other type of healing on, or I'm seeing my, you know, I go to sound healing and stuff like that, or if I do a meditation, I might not journal instead. But I do enjoy journaling. I find it's probably the only way to really release what's in my head for good. So I can talk about it, you know, a number of times, to a professional or a friend or my partner or my mum, and it will just keep circling around. But when I actually put pen to paper, those thoughts actually leave my head for good. So I really make a conscious effort to journal as much as I can.
Yeah. So I know also on your website you speak about like being a doula and I'm curious, like that's for those that are unaware, helping others bring life into the world. But I'm curious, have you heard or spoken to any death doulas? Are you familiar?
No.
And it's something I was unaware. But just as those are helping people into life. There are people who are helping those out of life. And it's
Wow, are
really
you serious?
interesting. Yeah. It is quite popular and becoming more popular here in the States.
That's amazing.
It is. It is.
That's absolutely amazing, and I really shouldn't be surprised that there is such a thing. It was actually crazy because 6 days before my dad passed away, I was in the same hospital with my sister, helping her give birth to her baby. And then the next day he was in hospital and he passed in the same hospital 6 days later. And it was the most, you know, from this most amazing experience ever. And then when Dad hadn't quite passed, but he was on the way to, I was like, it was really making me think about we all have a birthday, we all have a death day, and how we just kind of need to accept that it is what it is. And how it could have also kind of been a sign, from someone up there that someone new is coming into our family while someone exits onto the other side until the rest of us are ready. And I'm glad that I had no idea there was death doulas, but I've actually like been incorporating little bits of death into my birthing, into my Be Real Birthing Instagram page, Facebook page, because it's like they do kind of work together in a way, you know what I mean? Like it's birth and death, like, and that's why I wanted to come on this podcast and why I will continue to speak on my socials about, that death shouldn't be so forbidden. Like everyone talks about birth so much, and when it comes to death, no one wants to talk about it at all. Like your own friends, some of your own family, it's almost like they don't even want to talk about that dead person's life. And then that then it goes on to, an effect of your mental health, because it's like, if you're not going to ask me about how we died or what happened or all that kind of stuff, if you don't feel comfortable doing that, then at least ask me something about him and who he was, because he's still a person, and he had so much of an impact on so many people for 52 years of his life. And in the hospitals, they claim they've got social workers and they've got this and that to support you. And then when it comes down to the crunch, no one is there to help you. They do nothing to help you. That final week was a mess. Like they promised he could, die where he wanted to, and that a social worker would come and meet me to talk to me about what we were going through. And when they turned up, if they did, the advice and the love and the comfort or whatever they were supposed to provide was, there was nothing, that it was pointless. So death doulas.
Yeah, so I was just looking as we were speaking here, and I was going to state that you may could become Australia's first doula, end of life or death doula, but no. There is the Australian Doula College in North, see, New South Wales. What is NSW?
Yeah, that's where I am, New South Wales. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it's in a place called Merricksville, or Merrickville rather.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
But yeah, so apparently they've got it on their website as well. So you all do have them there, or maybe it's
That's amazing.
up and coming there, who knows?
I love
But
that.
yeah, I think there is somewhat of a celebration when someone leaves Earth as well. They have lived a life, and it is a life that we try to honor. And that's why I always want to take time to honor who a person was before we get into, their death and how you're grieving, because they were a person,
That's
and
right. And a lot of people seem to be scared to talk about that. I don't think it's malicious. I think it's because they don't know how to approach it, or they don't want to hurt you if if you are having a good day. But it seems like a very unforbidden topic. When my dad was sick, there was messages left, right, and center. What's happening? My gosh, your dad's such an amazing person. I remember him from this memory and that memory. And then once they're gone, it's like people will still message me, but they don't ask me anything about how I'm coping with the grief or the loss or without my dad. And I don't get that, because even before I'd lost my dad, I was very much someone who was open to talking about death and the person that died. But it's maybe I'm hanging around the wrong people. And I do have people in my life that have really supported me and been there for me, but the amount that just don't want to talk about it, or about that person at all, and even the good times in their life, has really, really surprised me.
So how do you feel like you're dealing with grief? I know that you're still in the early stages, but overall, how are you doing?
Some days I feel like I'm doing it all wrong. Yesterday, the death certificate came for the second time because the first time it came, they had the incorrect information on it. And was the executor, the power of attorney, all that kind of stuff for Dad. And I just decided to FaceTime my mum and my sisters, and it was just a moment that I wanted to share with them. And I was hysterical. And my mum was pretty hysterical. And then my other three sisters were like just kind of calm about it. And I ended up saying to them, like, am I doing this wrong? Like, I feel like I'm the only one that's crying all the time and like thinking about all these things all the time. But then I think I look, today I'm having a pretty good day so far. And I look from afar, and I will give myself credit that I am doing pretty well. Like my sister said to me yesterday, you also had a lot more involvement, Amy. You also had to see a lot more than what we did. You took Dad to a lot more appointments. You saw him in you were the only one in the room when they would come in and tell him, you've got 24 hours to live, all that kind of stuff. There was a lot more trauma there for you. And that also like backtracks into my life with my dad and, what I grew up with as well. There's a lot more trauma there too, being the eldest, of things that I've seen and known of my father as well. So I think good days and bad days, honestly, it's like yesterday I was literally saying to my sisters and my mum out loud, like, am I doing this wrong? Like, why am I hurting so much? Why am I crying so much? And then by the evening, I was wearing my dad's clothes and I was happy and I was excited for a couple of things for today. And I also have the football game tomorrow that we're going to, for our team. So it's very up and down. Considering I struggle with mental health issues, wouldn't say mental health issues, but I do, suffer with anxiety and depression. Considering I have those factors behind me, I think I'm doing pretty well. Like I haven't had any panic attacks or anything like that since we're in the hospital. And yeah, I just don't know what's the right or wrong way to grieve anyway. So, I mean, I'm managing to get up every day and have a shower and get dressed, and it's not like I'm, not able to face life at all. But it's definitely taken a really big toll on my life, and it's probably the most heartbreak and the most painful thing I've been through so far.
I guess the bad news is there's not a right way to grieve. The good news is there's not a wrong way. So I think you have to find your own way through grieving. You know, it's what's good for me may not be good for you, and vice versa. So you just have to kind of find your own way. Like there's been millions of books written on grief, and you know, that's why I don't care for the five stages of grief that we always hear about. It's, you know, it's like a prescription that it's that when people don't fulfill it correctly, they think, what did I do wrong here? So
I
I
haven't
don't
even
like
looked at
that.
that.
Yeah, don't.
It's so up and down. Like one moment I'm like, oh, I was so lucky to have him as my dad. Like I would much rather have had him for only 30 years than anyone else for 80 years. And I laugh and talk about him openly, and I look out at the sunset and I'm like, oh my gosh, he's in a way better place than where we are right now. But then it could be like 3 hours later, and because your family, you've got so many reminders of them constantly, and you've got I've got my sisters and my mom, and I've got photos, and my kids knew him, So then something could just trigger you so quickly just to take 10 steps back, where I'm at the point where I'm sobbing my eyes out on the floor of the shower, nearly making myself sick. So it's really up and down at the moment. I wouldn't say I'm having more bad days than good, which is a good thing. Like, I'm not depressed every day or anything like that. But yeah, it's a bit of a roller coaster, really.
I want to take a moment to talk about your website and just, I guess, tell everybody about the affirmation cards. I think those are really awesome, and I don't know if we can share details about what may be coming in the near future, but feel free to
Maybe
talk about
I might be
that.
able to, just for your listeners. So I'll just add in that I had a mental and physical breakdown during COVID after I just had my second son. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm actually thankful I had that then, because since going through that 3 years ago, just under 3 years ago, I have learned so much about myself and done so much work on myself. Whether that be me within myself, by myself personally, or using outlets as well, to help me get by, through healing and counseling and stuff like that. But I'm thankful that all that happened to me, because I think it kind of set me up to be able to semi deal with what has happened now. So after going through that, I then very closely after broke up with, my kid's dad decided to call it quits pretty much. He'll tell you otherwise, but yeah, that's what happened. He couldn't handle the mental breakdown. It was a bit too much for him. So anyway, on to bigger and better things. So we got over that. And him and I have a good relationship now, so that's okay. I went back and worked at the bank, as a single mum for another 10 months. I was doing 4 days, and I was just like driving in the dark, back to pick the kids up from childcare. Their dad was having them once a week, one night a week, and I was just like, what am I doing? This just isn't for me anymore. The bank's very corporate. When you're young and you're single and you're partying, it's great. You can play the games of the politics and work your way up really quickly. But when you've got a family and people you care about and you want purpose from your life, it just wasn't for me anymore. So I decided to take some time off and take a career break. And I just started spending a lot of time on my own as much as I could. When the kids were at childcare, when they're at their dad's, I partied a little bit when we first broke up. On the weekends, he had them. And then by about this, we broke up in the February. And then by about the September, when I went on the break from the bank, I just started spending heaps of time on my own, journaling, meditating, sleeping even. I started to, so spending all this time on my own, I started to like wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, pretty much on the dot, every Saturday night when they're at their dad's. And I just started having these like affirmations come to me. Like, they just were like rolling in my head, like so clearly. So I'd get my phone out or a bit of paper. Normally my phone, probably not the best thing at that time of the night, but I'd just start jotting them all down in my notes. And then after a couple of weeks of doing that, it just clicked. I was like, this is what I'm meant to be doing. I love writing. I love interacting with people. I'm focusing so much on mental health because of what I've been through from, since being a young girl, and in particular since becoming a mum. And I just want to do something different. And I want to start to use my creative side. I've always said, oh, I'm not a creative person, because I never gave myself a chance to go down that avenue. It was just always, my mum always did corporate work and I just kind of followed in her footsteps. So I started writing up all my affirmation cards, but I've always used affirmation cards. And for me, I found them very generalized. I found that, they were all just kind of happy-go-lucky. They were the ones that I'd been, bought or gifted so far, were your general kind of affirmation cards, like, wake up and be thankful and look at the sun and that kind of stuff, which is all well and good. But I thought when I was going through my breakdown and I was using my, they were called Be Happy cards or something, I thought this is a bit far-fetched for me today. Like not a, like they would say something like, go for your dreams today and things like that. And I couldn't get out of bed for 6 weeks. Like I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't talk. So after coming through the other side of that mental breakdown, I thought like we really need something that's more specific to what we're going through in life. And I had like hundreds of them written out that I honestly believe it was my angels coming to me, because I'd wake up like really peacefully, not with anxiety or anything, jot them all down, go back to sleep. Like it was kind of like it was in my sleep that it was happening, but they were so clearly written out in the morning. And they all just ended up fitting in really well to, so we've got different categories. We've got mental health as one, motherhood, postpartum, ones in particular for birth, physical and mental discomfort, which I wrote those. I also around the same time started having some problems with endometriosis and things like that, where they wanted to do surgery on me. So those ones were written when I was going through a time of a lot of physical pain, which was then affecting me mentally. What else do we have? And then we also do just have the general feel good ones, the just everyday happiness ones too. And I also believe it's now my dad as my angel. I mean, I believe my other angels are there too, but my dad did come to me in a meditation. Not long after he passed, I went to a retreat that 2 days after his funeral, I was like, no, I don't think I can do it. Lucky I knew the people running the retreat really well and they knew about my journey. And dad came to me in that meditation and laid in my arm and said, like, you've taken care of me so much during your life. It's time for me to take care of you. I'm now your angel. And then about 2 weeks ago, I woke up at around 3 a.m. again, and a whole bunch of grief affirmations came to me. So I left it for a couple of days and I have read over them all, and they are currently being designed and ready to be rolled out into the website very
Very,
soon.
very awesome. Yeah, I look forward to seeing that, and maybe it's something I can incorporate, because I feel like we have to be kind to ourselves in the way that we speak to ourselves. It's we are our worst critics sometimes, and we speak negatively. And when you're speaking that negativity into your life, I think it really takes root a lot of times. So getting out
It
the
does.
bad and then start talking, with good affirmations, very important.
They're really positive, but the reason I named it Be Real was because they're also real in regards to what, you're going through at the time. So for an example, like it might, with the grief ones, it might say like, I know you're hurting, but your loved one is always with you. Well, that was just off the top of my head kind of thing. They're not that kind of, nothing against the airy fairy kind of type, but they're very suited to what you're going through at a hard time in your life. So there's so much positivity in there, but they're also very relatable and real. Because at times like this, I don't think unless someone's been through it, lost someone close to them, do people really understand, which is, why I've written these cards and hopefully, and also in memory of Dad, but because I think they can be could be really, really helpful for someone that's struggling with loss, and you can feel quite alone. So knowing that someone's written those cards that's been in the same mind frame as you, is special too, because it can be quite a lonely time as well, grief.
Yeah. Well, I will definitely put your information in the show description. So if anyone wants to purchase these cards, they're out there. They do ship to the US. I know a lot of my listeners, most of my listeners are in the US, but I've got listeners. It's really neat to watch the statistics on
Yeah, it would
Podbean,
be.
and
Yeah.
It's amazing. I've already had, of course, I've got one friend in Australia who listens every once in a while, but I've picked up a few extras, or maybe people are listening to multiple episodes. I don't know, but
I think you'll have a few more Aussies onto it after you
nice,
release.
nice. I have two Aussies here in my house. They're Australian shepherds. So,
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
yeah. So.
Have you been to Australia before?
I have never been.
I haven't been to America either. I want to, but I never have.
Well, I don't know. It's not what it used
America.
to be.
America was like the place when I was a teenager that my friends and I were all like, we have to go to America. We have to go. My partner and I have said that we're open to coming. I mean, I know there's a lot going on over there with my stepdad's very into all the politics of it all and whatever. But yeah, I've made some friends on social media over there and I wouldn't mind coming to check it out. I don't know if I'd bring the kids or if we'd just come on our own, but there's so many places in the world to visit, though. It's like, would you rather go? I don't know. It'd be so hard to choose what part. You'd probably have to make it a big trip. And yeah, that's not something I can even think about right now.
Yeah. Well, I think the main thing is keep living life. Do the things that you enjoy, right? Your life does not stop in grief. And so I think if you can travel the world or find places that you enjoy, that's what you've got to do. So.
Well, we actually went. We had a sorry, I know we probably need to wrap it up soon, but we had a trip planned with Dad for March. So he passed in the February. He wasn't much of a traveler, but have you heard of Queensland? Yeah, so Queensland's like one of my
That's
sisters
like
has moved.
northeast, right?
Yeah, so it's beautiful, warm all the time, just a bit more laid back. And a bit cheaper to live, things like that. So, my dad wasn't much of a traveler, but he loved Queensland and we had been there numerous times. So, we were hoping he would make it to March, and be well enough to travel. But unfortunately, yeah, that wasn't the case. But we actually still decided to go on the trip. And it was amazing. Like, I'd had so much anxiety and hurt and down days. And then as soon as we got the trip getting to Queensland was hard and everything that could go wrong went wrong. But once we got to where we were staying for that week, I just felt so peaceful. Like it was good to spend time with my sister, but yeah, there was like no anxiety, no, I don't know what it was. So yeah, I keep saying to Chris, my partner now, I'm like, we need to go on another trip soon. Like even if it's just, somewhere in Australia, but it's so nice just if you enjoy traveling and you're with the right people, just to get away from the norm and just get out in nature and enjoy the good parts about life, because when you're grieving, it makes it a bit harder to see them, but once you get outside, they are there still.
Yeah. Well, Amy, I'll let you say any final words, any final thoughts, or anything that you think we may have missed on the episode, and just kind of close us out here.
Not really. I guess it's something we could talk about forever, and I hope it is something I can talk about forever, because I never want my dad's, name to leave my lips, when it comes to speaking to my children about Poppy and, just to keep living through him, really. But I guess, I'm 10 weeks in, and if you're listening to this, and whether it's 2 weeks in, 4 weeks in, 2 years in, 5 years in, even, and today's not a good day for you, and maybe you decided to, click on this to try and find someone that relates to you. I know something for me, even with all the love around me, I have felt very like alone at this point in time and very lost. So if you're listening to this and it's not a good day for you, you're definitely not alone. There's so many people out there, that are going through the same thing, and Yeah, there's moments like today where I managed to, get through an hour on whatever it's been conversation and speak about my dad in, a pretty happy way, even though I thought I might not have been able to do it. So yeah, just sending love to anyone that's hurting through grief, and we're all in it together, really.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for having me, Brad. I've was really excited to chat to you, and I'm really thankful that you've had me on your podcast, and yeah, I feel really honored. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. And listeners, thanks for joining in. And I will have Amy's information in the show description. So if you want to reach out to her or find her shop and webpage there, support her and what she does with the affirmations. And anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and I hope you join us again for episode 51. We'll just keep doing this until I run out of people who want to
Oh,
speak about death.
I'll come back and chat when I'm a death
There you
doula.
go. There you go. Yes, I do
Oh
offer,
my goodness.
anybody who's been on the show before, absolutely, you're welcome back, So send me a message here in 6 months to a year or whatever, and we'll have you back on and see where you're at.
My
I can't
gosh, I
wait
don't know
to
if I
have.
could handle that just yet. That would be too triggering for me right now. Or it could be healing. You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway,
Thank you.
you're welcome, and listeners, we'll catch you next time. Hope everybody has a great day.